Last, the Constitution is finished. But if a super-duper big tragedy happens, this entire document goes out the window. Said no founding father ever. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I'm a United States Senator and a Vice President of the United States for one reason. Because I was educated.
When the stock market crashed, Franklin Roosevelt got on television and didn't just talk about the princes of greed. He said, look, here's what happened.
They're just not used to somebody really smart.
Now is the time to heed the timeless advice from Teddy Roosevelt. Speak softly and carry a big stick. End of quote. I promise you, the president has a big stick. I promise you.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
Oh, yeah, super smart. Biden announced a presidency today. He accidentally did it a few weeks ago, but he didn't want anybody to realize that. Anyway, welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Hope you're doing great today on a Thursday. Of course, we have an incredible lineup. I've got Uncle Milty with me. By the way, you can go to katedalyradio.com for all the SoundCloud recorded hours of the show and pick those up and share those far and wide. We also have Chris Ann Hall. I don't want to waste another second. Chris Ann Hall on the show. In this hour, we also have Carrie Solomon, the producer of the movie Unplanned. In the next hour, we have Dr. William Farrell on the boy crisis, and then also Dr. Duke. So a huge show today. Welcome Chris Ann Hall, our constitutional expert and attorney that visits us usually every Thursday. So glad you're here. How are you?
Yeah, he's just so creepy. When will the Democrat Party stop embarrassing themselves with these presidential candidates? You know, seriously, creepy Uncle Joe, time to retire or something, or at least be quiet.
Yeah. He even ran for president in 88. I mean, the guy's been in since 1970 in some form of government, paid for by our dollars. He doesn't even know what America is about because he's always been paid by stealing money from us to give to him. So to pay him. And I'm not quite sure why we pay him. He's as dumb as a brick. So anyway, we'll get to that. Oh, my gosh. So much to talk about today. I also want, while I have you on the show, want to talk a little bit about the Mueller report. I saw a tweet that said and was talking about the fact and pointing out, and I think you have too, pointing out that Mueller's report can't defer to Congress. There's no authority to do that. There's nothing there. What is your take on this, Chris Ann?
Well, you know, it really sort of is complicated because it's a quasi-legal process to begin with,
mm-hmm,
right? So we're not talking about real due process. We're not talking about real criminal investigation. We're not even talking about real crime.
Right.
But the reality of this sort of chain of command as it is, mm-hmm, is exactly what William Barr said twice when he was addressing the press. Mueller works for me.
Yeah.
The report was created for me, period.
Yep.
Handsome. I mean, I don't know how it gets any clearer than that.
Yeah. There's no deferring to Congress. There's no role there to do that. The line of authority for Mueller has to go to
Barr. Congress can take the results, okay? Mm-hmm. So Congress can take the results of the investigation, and they can conduct their own congressional hearings,
mm-hmm,
and they can, you know, you've the stuff about impeaching Trump based on the findings. Well,
mm-hmm,
that only works if you actually have some kind of congressional caucus that comes together and draws conclusions and creates a resolution for,
mm-hmm,
articles for impeachment, and then it goes through the House. You know, I mean, this is a complicated process from a political and legal perspective, and the simplicity with which the politicians want to deal with these issues,
mm-hmm,
is really the scariest thing, because they actually don't give it the concentration, the deference that it really needs.
Right. And I keep seeing the word recommendation for impeachment. It's kind of funny how this vernacular has changed. Now it's recommendation for impeachment. It's rather ridiculous with no crime, isn't it? Or am I just up in the night?
Well, you know, I mean, the Mueller's report was really ambiguous as to whether there was obstruction of justice, mm-hmm. okay? And so there's, legally speaking, not due process speaking, not morally speaking, mm-hmm. and really not even from a criminal standard speaking, but now from a legal speaking, there's some ambiguity on whether somebody can actually be charged with obstruction when there is no crime alleged.
Right.
So for decades, the courts have always held that you can't charge somebody with obstruction of justice or resisting without violence when there is no crime, no criminal reason for there actually to be an investigation. Right. And so now we know that's not exactly true from a legal perspective. So the Congress can claim that there's still wiggle room for obstruction of justice, mm-hmm. which would be a misdemeanor. But let us remember that obstruction of justice has already occurred in the Obama administration, and nothing happened.
Bingo. And all of these intelligence agencies and everybody on the hook, a lot of rumors about Comey, something happening to Comey charges-wise in the next 2 weeks. And so there has been obstruction of justice. It's interesting the selective sources in claiming obstruction of justice and where it needs to be directed. Very interesting.
Well, Kate, what really is interesting, I mean, you have Hillary Clinton's team clearly obstructing justice.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Eric Holder being found in contempt mm-hmm. for refusing to provide evidence requested pursuant to an investigation. That is clear obstruction of justice.
Right.
And let us remember why the cases in Nevada were thrown out for the Bundy trials. Because, number one, the FBI faked reports, the BLM faked reports. Number two, the prosecutors in the case refused to provide exculpatory evidence that they're required to provide to the defendant by law.
Mm-hmm.
And that is clear. I mean, that is clear criminal obstruction of justice.
Exactly. And you didn't see, you don't see any, besides the case being thrown out, did we ever see any justice on that? Did they ever get, did they ever have any responsibility or accountability for their actions?
Oh, no. Department of Justice has authorized them to appeal again.
Exactly. So we're not seeing any sort of accountability, but man, they want to throw the book at Trump for something they can't even define. Or unwilling to define, yet they didn't come up with any charges, so it makes no sense.
But he is evil and disgusting.
Oh, Katie. Yeah. I mean, his personality is awful, so therefore, you know what I mean? It's just insane what's been on trial is his personality, truly. And there have been things I haven't agreed with on the things he's done, too. But it's...
Yeah, I don't think I'd hang out with him as a friend.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think going to dinner with him would actually
would
be kind of fun.
With him. I don't know.
I'd go to dinner. I think it'd be fun, actually, to talk with him. I do think that people liked him, actually, before he became president, and then all of a sudden it switched. GY. Well, the media has done a really wonderful job at every turn to create this hatred. I also wanted, we only have a few minutes, but I also wanted you to comment on the census. The census, constitutional? The census, as far as putting your... ancestry or background or from whence you came in America. Let's talk about census for just a second.
Okay, so the citizenship census question, that
yes.
was before the Supreme Court. And I did a show last week
mm-hmm.
Called Spot the Lies in the Census Argument. And what you're seeing now, and I don't know if people are seeing it all over the media, whether it's liberal and conservative alike, but there's a big lie that I'm hearing on all platforms that the Constitution requires all people to participate in the census, not just citizens. And that is absolutely and completely false. The Constitution does not require all people. What's funny is it says, all people must mm-hmm. participate in the census. What's interesting is the census clause actually excludes Indians. So these people who are saying that the Constitution requires all people to participate in the census must think that Indians are not people.
Right. Okay.
But if you read Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, Kate, which is the census clause, it is unmistakable that the purpose of the census is, number one, to decide the number of representatives, and number two, the portion of the state's taxes. Neither one of those things involve non-citizen people.
Right.
So to say that everybody should be involved in the census is ridiculous. So the question on the census, determining whether you're a citizen or not, is a valid question, because if you're not a citizen, you should not be a part of the census.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think they envisioned so many in the all people explanation as being not citizens, because I'm pretty sure they thought people that resided here would be citizens because they go through the proper channels, right?
Well, but Kate, Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 does not say all people.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
it
just saying in their.
It does not say all people.
I'm saying in their interpretation, in the left's interpretation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the left interpretation doesn't even resemble fact, even in
ever.
Any portion of Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3. So,
right. And
the crazy thing is, I'm hearing otherwise conservative journalists say, well, you know, the Constitution requires all people to participate in the census.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness, facepalm moment. You guys are driving me nuts. When did LeVar Burton stop teaching the reading rainbow? Because we've lost a very fundamental principle here that reading is fundamental. Nobody reads anymore.
I know. Uncle Milton.
Well, I'm reading it, and I don't think it excludes Indians. It says excluding Indians not taxed.
Yeah, so why are the Indians not taxed, Uncle Milty?
Well, because they're not considered citizens of the United States.
Thank you! Because they live in a foreign country that exists within these United States.
Yeah.
So there's the very clause that says non-citizens are not involved.
There you go.
Because Indians not taxed are not citizens.
There you go. I don't know how much more clear it can be, but you know, they're doing this constantly and inserting words to match the narrative of the day.
Yep.
So that's what we get, is a healthy dose of narrative and emotion. Chris Ann Hall, you can go to Chris Ann Hall. Check out her show. It's amazing. Chris Ann Hall Show, and you can go to chrisannhall.com and get that. And also, I just applaud you on your work. It's kind of like Where's Waldo? It's Where's Chris Ann in the World Today? And she's on the East Coast. I so appreciate all your efforts over the last decade in teaching and educating. Thanks, Chris Ann.
I'm going to be in New York all next week.
Oh,
even
my
in New
gosh.
York City teaching.
Take it on, babe. Take
God
it on.
God bless you.
Okay. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you. And be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. This is the Kate Daly Show that you're listening to live right now all over the globe. We welcome you. You can go to katedalyradio.com and you can share what will be this podcast after the show, this taped version of the taped version of the show. You can share that as well. You can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. Happy to have you. Big thank you to Chris Ann Hall as well. We have such a fantastic guest. I can't wait to talk to you, Carrie. Carrie Solomon is here, producer of the fabulous movie Unplanned, and so grateful for all of your efforts in doing this film, Carrie.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I have to applaud you. Not only this movie, but God's Not Dead, Do You Believe, a host of films to your repertoire. And I'm so grateful that people are willing in Hollywood to step out and be courageous enough to do these films. I'm going to guess there was a lot of backlash? Was there threats? Were there threats in getting to do this movie? I can't even imagine how you had to go about it, even to kind of stave off the bought and sold media and their views on this and what they would say about it.
Well, Chuck and I are probably you've probably just met the only two conservatives in Hollywood.
I think so. I think so.
Oh. And, look, it's a pro-choice town. It's far, 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 far left.
Mm-hmm.
And
Did we lose you?
Yep.
Carrie, are you there? Carrie. Oh, I sure hope we didn't lose him. Carrie, are you there?
He's not there.
Okay. Shoot.
I was just going to tell him.
I know.
We don't call it a pro-choice town. We call it an abortion town.
Carrie, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, you just cut out, so I'm not quite sure what happened. But I do applaud this, and I do realize how hard it is. Are you a glutton for punishment in Hollywood? Because I'm sure that going against the grain like this has got to be tough.
Well, you know, we're deeply, deeply conservative, deeply believers in God. You know, we believe we're on a mission.
Yes.
And so that's it. This is the mission, it's to change the culture, to remember the America that was, not that the America that is, and to do the right thing. I mean, abortion is a Holocaust.
It's
100 times worse than any Holocaust we've had throughout history.
Amen.
I know people that, don't really comprehend that, but once they realize it, people get profoundly changed by it. The movie is changing people radically. I can't tell you how many pro-choicers in Hollywood, which is impossible, have changed sides and said, I just didn't know. And so, we're doing what we believe is right.
Well, applaud, because I wish more people would stand on their principles and be courageous enough to do this, because you do take a risk. And could this film have been made 10, 20 years ago?
No, I do not believe so. Technology, what we've gotten over and over and over prophetically and in other ways is, for a time such as this, there is no such thing as coincidence, luck, karma, or any of that. Everything is divinely purposed.
Amen.
And, we got this movie, the rights for this movie, 6 years ago.
Oh.
And then in prayer, we heard not yet. And we were kind of disappointed. 4 years later, the Lord said to us now, and that was 10 days before Donald Trump got elected, had we done this 6 years ago when we wanted to, Kamala Harris was the attorney general and Obama was the president, we would have been in jail. What they're trying to do to Dalyden would have been us, and they would have seized the film, in our opinion.
Wow.
And so, with Trump and Pence and everyone else who's trying to get and do the right thing, now is the time. And then you look at the infanticide laws that are just appearing now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Unplanned has come at a perfect time. This is the opposite argument of, what's combating the infanticide.
I just got chills. Did you, Malcolm Multi?
Yes,
I just
absolutely.
Got chills. And I am telling you, timing is everything, and God has a way of making things happen. And what I love about this is the way the story is told, so that those going in would identify maybe with Abby, maybe what she was doing, and then to see her change. So I love that, because I don't think it's preachy. It is. This was my experience, and when I found this out, I had to change because I realized what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we get marginalized in Hollywood. People will say, oh, they're making Christian movies. This is not a Christian statement movie. This is a movie. This is a humanitarian movie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is something that's morally wrong, whether people want to acknowledge it or not. This is going on all over the world. Billions of children have been exterminated for no reason. And so to me, that's humanitarian. This is a life and death kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we took our position. We tried to tell the story. There's nothing in there that's been fabricated. Everything in there is documented and true. A lot of the dialogue, everything, we did interviews. We did the whole thing. We do our homework when we do a project. And, the left likes to say, well, this is not true, or that's fabric. No, it's not. This is the exact story. Anyone who talks to Abby, we've got the court documents and transcripts from when Planned Parenthood tried to destroy her. We've got all the data. And when we started off in the movie, we were deep in prayer, and the Lord basically conveyed to us, tell the truth. Don't be biased. Don't propagandize it. Don't take a position. Don't take a side. Tell the truth. The truth will set you free. And we have the power of truth. What people are seeing when they see this movie is the power of truth. You cannot suppress that. And that's why it's so powerful and affecting people in such a way.
We're talking with Carrie Solomon, a writer, producer of the movie Unplanned that is taking the country by storm, even despite the R rating, which it never deserved. Uncle Milty?
You know, when my wife and I went to see the movie, the audience reaction was unmistakable, even in a dark theater. We heard people burst into prayer. It was amazing. Tears, prayer, crying.
Is that the feedback you're getting back, Carrie?
Yeah, we've had that. We've had, it's profound. It's profound what's happening. We're getting thousands of calls, texts, emails, people saying to us, thank you for directing the movie. Thank you for making this. It was unbelievable. You know, I had an abortion 35 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, and every day I dealt with it in my life, and now I'm free. I mean, but even more than that, I mean, we're getting thousands of people post-abortive, and this is just starting out. I mean, it's building. But we're having abortion workers leaving the industry en masse. We're having post-abortive men who say, you know, I forced my girlfriend, I forced my ex-wife or my wife into an abortion, and, you know, it destroyed us, and crying and just coming to terms with the fact, look, this is not a movie about condemnation or who's right and who's wrong. This is a movie about hope, love, forgiveness, and redemption. And the bottom line is that, like I said before, the truth is there, and it jumps off the screen into people. And people, I don't know what it is about people. Maybe it's the way we're wired. Maybe it's the way we're designed by God. But when we hear the truth, it resonates in the soul.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does, 100%. I think it's a movie about realization, the realization of what we've been doing, too.
What I really liked was on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics only gave it a 48%.
Of course they did.
But the audience gave it 92%.
92, that is huge. Yeah. That is huge, Carrie.
Yeah. Well, we got, since 1986, there's only been 60 cinema scores of A+, and we got an A+ cinema score. There's only been, like, I think a handful of directors that have gotten that for a movie, and so we did that. And I don't take much of what the media says. So but on Rotten Tomatoes, I will say it is symbolic. You know, when we did God's Not Dead, they called us Nazi propagandists and all that, and we got like an 8. Or something from the critics. But I think that this movie, because, again, it's the truth, I think a lot of the hardcore left-wing people that went and saw the movie said, you know what, I don't agree with this. I still believe in abortion, or maybe they don't, but I have to admit that it's a really good movie. It's
they can't
not
deny
garbage.
It. They can't deny it.
And they can't deny it.
Yep.
To get a 48 on Rotten Tomato is impossible. You can't pay for that kind of thing. And a 92, 93 from the audience, I think, is amazing.
That's truly amazing, actually. I mean, did you ever feel threatened doing this? Did you have to change the name of the film to even make it happen?
Oh, yeah. No, look, We shot the film in secret. We felt compelled to do that. We were sent to Oklahoma, the reddest state in the union, and we had everything done in secret. We had deep security, the kind of guys who, you know, go to foreign nations and fight combat.
Yes, I would imagine.
We had, you know, it was all about, and we wanted to lay low. We used a different name. The people of Oklahoma were amazing with us, somehow it never slipped out. And it went, you know, that we were there. It's just, yes, I mean, look, we know that the times we live in. If I had my way, if Chuck and I had our way, we would have shot a Western. But that's not the time we live in.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So, you're right. You know, you're right. Principles. We have to stand for principles. Stand for something that's right. And this surely is. And it's why we do what we do is constantly making these things known. What's next for you? I can't even imagine. What do you want to take on next?
You know, we pray on that, and hopefully that the Lord will tell us what he wants us to do. You know, but I would say we have various projects. I mean, I would love to do the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd love to do, there are some other movies we have that are quite powerful, you know, other cause mm-hmm. movies.
Sure.
But whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do.
And
just go forward. But I do think there's certainly room here for other people that are listening out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel compelled, if you feel moved, if you feel that the Spirit is telling you to go make movies, go do TV, whether it's acting, directing, producing, writing, whatever it is, I would say now is the time. For a time such as this, we need people to stand up, and we need people to come and do this, because the bottom line is that the scales are tilted very far to the left. And we need people who will go out and make a movie like this, or a TV show, or an actor who will stand up and say, you know what, I love Jesus, or I'm
right.
pro-life, or, you know, euthanasia is bad, or
yes.
or children who are 11 having sex is not right, you
yes.
know, that kind of thing.
I agree.
So, you know, I would tell people to come to Hollywood and, or to do whatever they can to get, you know, to help in this battle.
My utmost respect, Carrie. My utmost respect, because I know it is so difficult to do what you're doing, where you're doing it. I can't even imagine what your career's been like, but how blessed you've been and how blessed we are that we have filmmakers willing to stand up for the truth and willing to get this on screen. I am so happy, because this is, you, like you said, this is changing lives. This is changing people's views. When I saw the video clips of women that stood there watching what happens in an abortion, and then all the sudden changing their very hard stance at the end and within minutes, this is really the only catalyst. You guys were right on the money. Brilliant, brilliant movie. I just applaud you 100%. Uncle Milty?
And it wasn't even that graphic to
no.
get the R rating. I mean, the
it's
abortion scene itself was really more of what entered your mind, not
yes.
what you were visually seeing
so I just,
with blood and gore.
With seconds to go, I just applaud you. With seconds to go, what do you want the audience to know?
God is good.
And
amen.
He will
yeah.
make, and he will save everyone, and he wants to put an end to abortion. And I would tell everyone to spread the word and to know that he's going to do it. But the bottom line is that I would say to everyone, abortion is the murdering, the
right.
killing of children.
Thank you,
Carrie. And
thank
we,
you.
We have to stop it.
Carrie Solomon, thank you, 100%. Thank you. Really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, my gosh. I love him.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Gonna take a freight train down at the station now. I don't care where it goes. Gonna climb a mountain, the highest mountain. A jump off.
Welcome on back. Kate Daly Show here. Uncle Milty and I are happy to be here. Thank you to Carrie Solomon, writer and producer of the movie Unplanned. Did that not give you chills when he said they were wanting to do the movie 6 years ago
uh-huh.
and got an answer in prayer, no, and to wait and look at the timing of this?
Yes.
Wow. That gave me chills. Anyway, a big thank you to Carrie. My utmost respect to Carrie for standing up in Hollywood and doing something that is very, very difficult. I had a lot of discussions with Sam Sorbo, the wife of Kevin Sorbo. We hung out, and she was saying how hard it is to be a conservative there, and that
mm-hmm.
you're so few and far between, and it's difficult to get people on the phone. It's difficult to get action done when you have ideas for these kinds of movies. No wonder they had to sort of conceal what they were doing because of the backlash. And just think about that. These groups are so bad as far as being violent and mean and kind of horrifying that work against this. You know, they don't want these messages out there like the movie Unplanned and that talk about the truth of what's going on in abortion, that you have to change the name of the film and do it in secret in order to get it done in America.
Hmm.
Think about that for a moment. We're in America.
Yeah.
Wow. This reminds me of the case this week that was brought to light about the Uber driver. The Uber driver that picked up a 20-year-old, wasn't it in New York?
In upstate New York,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And she wanted to go to an abortion clinic, and the driver refused to take her on principle, said, I'm not going to drive you there for an abortion, not going to take part in it, not going to be part of your quest today, and was fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
And it's amazing how he knew it, because she, mm-hmm. the address she gave to Uber was just an address to a doctor's office.
Hmm.
And
they must have had a dialogue.
There must have been a reason that he, because he questioned her.
Mm-hmm.
He said, are you going to have an abortion? Maybe he knew that the doctor did abortions.
Maybe.
But when he refused, they had a discussion. He hung around for about 15 minutes after he told her he wouldn't take her and tried to continue to talk to her.
Wow. And was fired.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
Well, I don't... You know, I Uber has a very strict set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And on their company policy, they can fire him for refusing to give someone a ride.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder why that is, though. Can somebody not call another Uber driver?
You know, let me tell you, he could have. When you first get a rider, you can see
mm-hmm.
who they are, where they are, and where they're going.
Okay.
And you can decline it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But once you pick them up, you've got to get them to their destination.
Right.
So if he didn't want to do that, he should have declined it right away.
Yeah, you're right.
But I don't agree with him being fired over it. I think a reprimand would have been enough.
Yeah. I mean, it goes right along with the cake maker. You know,
of
you're
course.
Making a cake with for a lesbian wedding and taking part in the ceremony versus do you make the cake? These are all questions that I think we should have the freedom to answer for ourselves. And for everybody, it's going to be different because I really do think that a lot of people I know probably would make the cake yet not want to participate in anything else. In this case, they might have wanted to spend the ride talking about it with the person, but would have dropped them off. And I know other people that would have said, no way, I'm not even going to entertain giving them the ride. But shouldn't we have the freedom to do this? And shouldn't we have the freedom to make that decision without thinking that there's going to be a lawsuit? Because that's exactly what's going to take place now.
Well, I don't think she has a lawsuit case.
No, I don't either.
But, you know, she's this conversation rarely happens. She said, I'm 20 years old, found out I was pregnant, and consequently decided I wanted an abortion because I'm in no position to care for a child. There are millions of other people that are in a position to care for that child.
No.
Abortion is not the only answer.
Nope. You have the baby, you give it up, or there's many, many things that you can do. The decision, it's always very interesting to me when these girls think the decision is made after the baby's already there.
Right.
As opposed to beforehand. And that they think that they can weigh in on that decision.
Right.
Because this is another soul, another human being. So, you know, and everybody knows we both have, I have no zero tolerance for abortionists whatsoever.
So. I'm not even in favor of birth control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I will say this. I would rather see a young girl use birth control and think about the possibility of getting pregnant
mm-hmm.
before just getting pregnant and using abortion as birth control.
Right, right. 888-673-1450. It's a huge topic. Last night on, or not last night, but just recently on PBS, they did a piece on aborted fetal cells and vaccines, and my comments on that because I don't think most people have realized that for decades human tissue was involved in those. And the cell lines, they used two different cell lines they actually went through multiple aborted fetuses to find the cell lines that were going to work. And so their argument is, look, it's two cell lines that multiply and divide and multiply and divide. And so those are from the late 1960s and we're not consistently putting not consistently using aborted fetuses for those types of things. But they are. There was a new line in 2005 that was introduced because of new vaccines. And there was an article that said, so they finally justified it. They finally justified using more because they always kind of hung their hat on, well, this was from two. The problem that I think most people aren't seeing is that they're using obviously they're making a ton of money off of the parts, and we all know that from seeing the Planned Parenthood videos. But also injecting human DNA into your own body, what that can do and the problems that that can cause. And the public has felt that they have concealed that for years, not really out there with the information. Back at the turn of the century, they used animal cells. Then they said that the animals were too expensive to maintain. I don't believe that for a second, but okay. Then they used monkey cells, and the monkey cells were contaminated with the polio virus. So half the country got a contaminated dose of polio back in the 50s. And then they decided to start trying to use human cells. And so then they went to these abortions, and they decided to use a baby, an aborted fetus, as the cell line. Because what it does is it sparks the immune system. It weakens the virus and sparks the immune system. So when they add that in there, this is why when they inject you with a disease, the disease doesn't take over. So have you ever thought about the fact that, hey, you can use your own immune system to do that? If you're using somebody else's immune system to do that, why can't your own do it? It can. It can. Nobody questions this. And I think there are people out there that are truly baffled by the fact that they're even doing this anyway. So there was an article where they were coming out and saying, we always have to have the ability to use aborted fetuses, not only for food companies, for flavor enhancement, for, Pepsi went through the big case, remember, with using this as a flavor enhancement, all kinds of companies, Kraft Foods, it's in everything, and also vaccination companies. Did you know that there are corporations selling fetal cell lines? I mean, their entire business is selling them. So who are they selling them to if it's only two cell lines from 1960?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense, right?
Of course not.
So we don't ask the right questions, obviously, but I do feel in my gut of guts, and this is just chatter on the ground, me, because I want to express how I feel, is that they're getting to a point now where they don't want people to turn against the abortion movement, these abortionists. And so now it's going to be about our health. Now it's going to be, we need this. And if we didn't have it, you, Mr. and Mrs. and your family would not be healthy. And so now as we go to mandatory vaccines and things like that, all of those, even though the cell lines were from the 60s that kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and dividing, you still have human DNA in each of these vaccines. So we haven't even begun to understand what we're doing with this. But I can clearly see, as they were trying to say, well, this is all about your health and we need this research and we have to go through multiple fetuses in order to get this research done. And so we can't ever end this. And I thought, we're so in trouble. They're going to convince people that it's okay to abort. It's okay to abort because it's used in so many things.
Oh, yeah.
Because we benefit from this as a world and as a country.
Well, let us pray it's they sick. Don't find a use for geriatric cells.
Exactly. So this is the territory we're heading into, and it makes me physically ill to think that not only are we not up in arms about this, there are many, many, many faiths out there saying, How can you be against abortion? And for that, if they're using that vehicle to make that, like even in the vaccine world, to make that happen. And it really is a question of, where does your principle stand? And I think that's exactly why they didn't let this information out long ago. They were kind of, close to the vest with this. Media wasn't telling this, were they? Because a lot of Christians out there, a lot of people would have said no. And that abortion industry is so huge, so, so huge. We don't even begin to realize there are huge, massive corporations that sell these parts of these babies. They're out there and they are growing. And not only that, heavily compensated by grants from our government to do this. In fact, in 1 year, 2014, National Institute of Health, $76 million. $76 million was spent in grants to allow these companies to work with aborted fetuses for this exact the exact thing. So I wanted to bring that to light because this is the other part of the abortion crisis that we're not talking about in America, and I think that we should be. This has to be a dialogue in America.
Yes.
And like we said with Carrie Solomon, the writer and producer of Unplanned, and it's also a movie about realization, and it's also a movie about what is actually taking place for humanity. It's not preachy. It's not just a Christian issue. This is humanity. This is ending another soul's life in the most violent, destructive manner you can come up with. And we call it a choice? We call it a choice?
If I had a disease or an illness that they told me, mm-hmm. well, we can inject you with some fetal stem cells and it will cure this,
mm-hmm.
I would have to say no.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather die.
Yeah. And I'm glad you're bold enough to say that, because I think people have to kind of recheck where they're at on this too.
Absolutely.
And as we realize how much this is a part of our daily life, and I'm not kidding about that, we have to know exactly what is going on here, what's being done.
If you accept those fetal mm-hmm. stem cells, then you're accepting abortion. There's no difference. You can't yeah. separate the
yeah.
two. Oh, well, the abortions are yeah. happening anyway, so I may as well use the stem cells.
Do you know how they disclaimed this? They actually came out in History of Vaccines, also, you know, with the CDC as well. The CDC, they also came out and said, well, it was an aborted fetus from a mother who just didn't want it. It was elective, and she really did not want the baby. And so that was justified. That was justified because it was her very strong choice to get rid of it. So, of course, they could use it because it was so viable and so healthy and so far along at 5 months that they just figured that would be the best candidate. Does that make you physically ill? They were justifying the reasons for the abortion that way to say, look, this was a very healthy fetus, so you shouldn't be really sad that this occurred because it occurred in the name of science. Oh, my gosh. We are Sodom and Gomorrah. We are that. And
yep.
Like Carrie Solomon said, we have got to start standing for truth. And we have got, if you have a feeling or an inkling to stand for truth on this issue or any other issue we talk about, please, please do so. We need strong voices like Carrie and Chuck, the writers of Unplanned. If you haven't seen the movie, go see it. Support it. Tell your friends. We just need that message out. And like you said, it's changing lives.
Yes,
people
it
are
is.
Completely turned around on their viewpoint and perspective of abortion. Too many young girls are being told it's about taking something from you. It's your choice and you're right and you're this and you're that. Very selfish. You're and you don't let somebody take something from you. And never is it said that they are taking another life. So we have to be able to say these things and say them loud.
Amen.
Scream them from the rooftops. Be right back with Dr. Farrell on the boy crisis in America. And then Dr. Duke joins us. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.